Hi everyone, welcome back to another True Potential Do More With Your Money show, but with a difference today because we are live across the internet here from our head office in Newcastle. Why are we live? It's a good question. To bring you our reaction to the budget, which finished about a half an hour ago. So we're going to tell you what that means for you and for your money as well over the next half an hour. For that, I'm joined to my right-hand side by Daniel Harrison, our Chief Executive.
Hi, Peter.
Hiya. Jamie Sexton's in the studio today. He's our Director of Client Servicing. At the very end of the table, we've got Chris Leyland, who is Director of Investment Strategy. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Peter.
Welcome to this special live episode of the Do More With Your Money show. It's only the second one we've ever done. Are you all excited?
Yes, very excited. Yeah,
very excited indeed.
This is my second live one, so I must have done well enough the last time.
That's right. Yeah. No, we just couldn't find anybody else, that's all.
Yeah, fair.
Right, I'm interested in your reaction because, as I say, the budget did finish half an hour ago. This is potentially the last budget we'll get before a general election. There's some debate around that, but who knows? We'll maybe talk about that over the next few minutes or so. But I'm just interested in your instant reaction to what's been announced. A lot of it very well trailed, as is the one these days. You tend to find out if you watch the news the day or two before what's coming up. So a lot of it's been announced, but I'm just interested, first of all, in your instant kind of gut reaction takeaway, Dan.
Yeah, another missed opportunity, I think, Peter. I was asked a similar question, I think it was by you in the autumn statement. I understood Hunt's first budget was after the Truss government, where I think there was a need to be a bit more conservative, a bit more kind of traditional in terms of a budget and avoid some of the shocks which got announced during that mini budget, what was a year and a half ago, I suppose, yeah. Now, and all of the subsequent turmoil it caused. So I think autumn's budget last year, we had the NI cuts. Then, you know, at the time I kind of said, I don't think people are going to really notice that. Probably would have been better off to give people the £450 in one shot and stimulate the economy that way. Although I was aware we're also having to balance that out with inflation at the time. But then fast forward, as you say, this is likely their last budget before the general election. This was a chance to make the most of a majority government, which they still have, which allows you to vote things through. This allows you to put a final spring in the step for a voter who's either been conservative all their life and needs convincing to stay conservative, or indeed the neutral type of voters, which is where we saw the swing to the majority the last time, to convince those neutral voters that a Tory vote should exist for them again. And, you know, it's only half an hour fresh. It's been well trailered, as you rightly say, Peter. And I'm struggling. I've got a page of notes here. I've got some pages here. I'm struggling to really get terribly excited about much of it.
Didn't quite meet its true potential, dare
it
I say.
Did not, no, it did not have true potential to do more with their money.
What was missing then? I mean, what were you perhaps going into the budget today or thinking about over the last week or so? Was there one thing particularly that you really wanted that wasn't there today then?
I've got a list of things, but I'm conscious I don't want to steal from Chris and Jamie too much as well, because as is the nature of these live shows, we've all exchanged some notes already, and what I don't want to do is hog the microphone. So I have got it written down.
All right.
See there. So
yeah.
So I'll duck the question for now. We'll let them have a little speak.
Come on then, Jamie. Yeah. Take the stage is yours then. So what did you like about it? What was missing?
I kind of feel, just looking through the pages, and we're kind of just watching the budget there before on BBC News flashing through. There's nothing exciting about it, is there? Yes, we've got a 2 pence cut in national insurance. You know, it's a good thing. It's going to put, you know, more money in people's pockets. But as I said, I think we've discussed this before. Will people notice that? I'm not quite sure. From a savings and a pensions perspective, which is something I look at specifically, we've obviously got the brand new British ISA, which is something that they've brought through. And I'm not sure they should have segregated. I get the point in why they've done it, you know, trying to encourage. I would love to see the detail of what British ISA means in terms of where that gets invested, because where your money invested, it can have a specific, especially from an advice perspective, looking at people's risk profile and is it appropriate. So I'm not sure, is that
for... Well, just to be clear on for anyone who has perhaps missed it then, so what he's announced there is a £5,000 extra allowance. So that will take the ISA allowance from, which currently everyone has, £20,000 a year. Yep. That's going to rise to £25,000 a year. But that extra £5,000 has got to be invested in UK equities.
Yes.
We'll wait and see some of the detail, which will come out over the next few days, and we'll see exactly. But just so far, that's what it looks like.
I think for clarity from my perspective, I think any any increase in tax-free saving is a good thing. I think there is good elements to that. But I would like to see the detail of where that means invested, because in terms of, if you look at the true potential portfolios as an example, a large majority of our clients sit in a balanced investment.
Yeah.
So I just would need to understand how that would fit into that section, which is the majority.
But overall, if you, you know, to try to inject some positivity, if you're increasing the ICE reliance from 20 to 25, that just as a headline, that's a good thing. There's more places for people to shelter some of their savings.
But why complicate it? Why segregate it?
Absolutely.
Peter? I'm not unpatriotic, but I'm also not patriotic. So before I get accused of either being pro-British or anti-British ICE, from there, if we look at the ISA allowance, it hasn't been increased since 2017 when it went up to £20,000. It's 7 years.
Yeah.
All we hear about from government, from press, from people on the street is inflation and the effect of inflation and what that means to a pound. So, you know, just using very kind of simple mathematics, if the ISA allowance had kept pace with inflation, it should be £25,000 to £30,000 now.
Yeah.
Just to give people the same buying power they had for that money back in 2017, we're meant to be a country who are encouraging savings. We've got a huge advice gap right now, which subsequently means we've got a huge savings gap as well. You know, look at the advice gap side of things, Peter, something you and I work on. There's at least 12 million people without access to advice right now. But that's a whole subject for a whole other podcast. Let's just look at what savings, and let's look at what government regulation does. That ISA allowance should really be outstripping inflation right now. And it shouldn't be segregated into, you know, £20,000 into what we typically do in our true potential portfolios and indeed or cash, and then an extra £5,000 into, you know, the first reaction from some of Chris's colleagues. I was in the room with Jeff and Mark, and their first reaction is, well, this is going to go to small to mid-cap companies in the UK. They're high-risk investments, which takes most of our clients are balanced investors, Jamie, as you know, because you look after thousands of them for us. All of a sudden, you might be saying to those people, do you want to go into a high-risk investment? High risk can give high rewards, but as the name suggests, it can also give high risk. It can give high risk of failure, high risk of people losing money. From there as well. And I understand what the point of it is, which is to help stimulate a very stagnant UK economy. And we see some of this and the rest of it. The problem with the UK economy isn't that enough people are investing into it. It's that it's an unattractive place to invest right now because of the overriding governance structure going on, rules on top of rules on top of rules, a high overriding taxation rate both for individuals and for businesses, and all of the other side taxes, cost of regulation, cost of insurance in our world, cost of levies as well. You need to get those structural issues sorted out before the UK actually becomes a good place to invest again. You know, Chris and the team could talk all day about why the US markets do so much better than the UK markets. Yeah. And it's not because, it's not because of anything secret. It's just actually a better place to do business right now. And me or Chris or Jamie being allowed to put an extra £5,000 into a small company, or God forbid, being allowed to buy NatWest back, which is part of the other thing, which is the government trying to get rid of an asset, which maybe they shouldn't have actually even saved in the first place. But they used our tax money for that as well. If you want to give NatWest back to ownership, give everyone a share of it now. Give it to the public back and write off the money you put into it if you really want to get excited. So I did tell you I had some...
Well, I was a bit worried today, Dan, that you might have been a bit non-controversial, so I'm glad to see you've laid those fears anyway. Chris, I'm going to bring you in on the economics in a moment because there were some important numbers in there. But just to pick up on this British ISA that's being talked about, I mean, it is an interesting point. And Jamie, I suppose you'll know more than anybody that in general, my sense is that the public, consumers, investors and savers are less bothered about... I mean, emotionally, they might think, oh, great, I want to invest in Britain. But actually, what they really want is to see growth in their investments. And that comes from a global approach. Because there are, as you know, Chris, and you're the expert on this one, you find growth all over the world. And within the diversification is where you find the growth opportunities. So almost like a narrow focus just on British companies might well tick a box as far as investment in Britain concerns, but it probably isn't, what clients really are looking for. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got quite an interesting stat for you, which is the British MP's pension fund. Have a guess how much is invested in UK equities?
Less than 5%.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good answer. 1.7%.
Yeah.
So when you think around what they're encouraging people to do, where they're encouraging them to put 20% of their £25,000 into UK equities, I can see why they're doing it. You know, obviously they're trying to stimulate the UK economy. However, you know, I agree with everything that, Peter's just said. You know, what we believe in at True Potential is diversification. We believe that's the best way to invest. So being diversified by region, spreading that risk across different regions overall. So for me, I think, you know, it's great. We've got an extra £5,000 tax-free allowance. I think that's a really positive thing, but probably less so that it's being directed into something so specific overall.
Yeah.
And what I would say as well is if you look at the kind of world equity market, so if we look at the main index, which would be MSCI World, UK is only 3.7% of that overall. Mm. The US now is just over 70% of that.
Yeah.
So it helps you understand just in some ways maybe the concentration that that could lead to if you just had that one ISA as your own sort of specific investment.
Let's talk a bit about the economic forecast then, because, you know, it's slightly dry stuff, let's be honest, when you're talking about percentage point growth and what inflation's doing. It can be a bit dry, but it matters to everybody in terms of their household budgets, their own personal finances, their savings as well. So what was announced, Chris?
Yeah, sure. So they quoted a lot of the OBR forecasts. So maybe just a couple of things to pick out there. So they said that inflation should fall below 2%. In 2 months' time.
And this is coming from a high of 11%.
Yeah, so it would have been in 2022. So it was 11.1% in 2022. If you look at the economic growth, so the GDP forecasts, they'd revised them upwards. So I think it had gone up from 0.7 to 0.8, only a small revision upwards for this year. And then for next year, it had gone up to 1.9, up from 1.4% overall. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for me, you know, what we've seen in the UK is, and I haven't just seen this in the UK, you've seen this in other developed regions as well, is you've seen very high inflation. We've seen interest rates move very quickly to try and reduce that inflation. And I think, you know, a positive that is happening in developed economies is that inflation is coming down. Now you're starting to see inflation move towards what is central bank target overall. So I think highlighting that was quite positive. Maybe just come back to your first question though of you know, what was your take on it? I probably have a slightly different answer in that I was quite pleased that there wasn't too much in there, in the sense that I remember the Liz Truss budget. Whatever it was, 18 months ago, wasn't it? And I remembered what happened in markets after that.
Yeah.
Whereas what you've seen today is the tiniest strength in sterling come through.
Yeah.
You've seen a very small move in government bond yields, but basically markets haven't moved.
Taking it in their stride.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but is that a reflection because it was so unambitious? The Truss budget, actually, when you look at some of it in the cold light of day, post all of the systematic shock it caused and the distress it caused in markets, there's actually some good takeaways in there, and there was some good out-of-the-box thinking. Unfortunately, that out-of-the-box thinking didn't walk hand in glove with the almost a bureaucratic machine, which says, you know, you have to prove, you have to get your forecast and approved. It was almost too much of a shock, and it was probably too much at once as well. I agree, Chris, compared to that and compared to the subsequent days, months after that and what it did in terms of everything from bond rates to gilt, et cetera, et cetera. No repeat of that. Has to be classed as a success from there. But, you know, when you look at the forecasts themselves, you only have to go back a little bit for everybody to see what the central government know anyway about forecasts and what have they actually got to do to actually factor upon this. So I know they have to do it. It's part of the budget. Don't get me wrong. But I always find it a bit rich when they talk about it in here, you know, and like, as if they've really had much to do with it.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, and I know it's part of Sunak's pledges, you know, that he was going to get all of this done by a certain amount of time and then everybody would love to elect him again. But when you look at the issues which really annoy people a lot of those haven't been solved. And arguably, a lot of things such as inflation going down is just as a result of the world settling down,
yeah,
not UK government intervention. And even if you look at the NI side of things, where we can get in to what some of that means at the moment, average person's going to save another £450 a month. Mm-hmm. As I said, as I said in autumn last year, give the people that money all in one shot.
Yep.
However, you're talking about people who are about to go into a 4, 5, 6% interest rate on a mortgage. Mm. For some people, that's going to cost £400, £500, £600 extra a month in terms of the mortgage payment. Yep. So this won't even cover a month. Yep. But for some people, that's as a result of the government keeping the interest rates higher to try and dumb inflation down further as a very, very blunt tool, which again, people who are far smarter than me, economists, you know, can some argue the merits of doing that with interest rates of, I say, doesn't make a difference as well. So, you know, yes, £450 a year saving extra on national insurance, great, better have more money in my pocket than not. Mm-hmm. But compare that to a normal consumer who's paying more than ever on tax, in terms of income tax, by the way, you know, you look at those thresholds have been frozen since 21, 22. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're frozen till 28, by which time more than 4 million extra people in the UK will be paying at least basic rate tax. 3 million people will be tipped over into 40% tax bracket at that stage. £450 extra, yes, saving national insurance doesn't make a difference to people.
Are you all right?
I'm not. I just feel like it's a waste. And I think they're trying to treat people like dummies as well. And I don't think people are dummies, because these are people who are paying hundreds of pounds extra a month on the mortgage.
It is true. And yes, what you're quite right. Even if you add it to the £450 a year saving from the last 2% decrease in national insurance announced in November, so 900 over a year if you take them both together, that's still nothing compared to, as you say, someone's mortgage going up by 300, 400 quid a month.
Yeah.
That said, you know, it's 900 quid. And also, it is interesting. I've always said, if you're going to give people effectively 900 quid back over a year, but you do it in incremental amounts in their salary. I mean, people, the first one came into effect at the people who would have had it in their January paychecks. You've had two paychecks.
Yeah.
I doubt anybody in the world, well, in the country, let alone the world, just in the UK, has noticed that. Mm-hmm. Because you just wouldn't, would you? You just look at your sort of take-home pay, that's what you notice. The rest of the tax, you barely notice. Wouldn't governments be better actually physically sending us all a cheque in the post and saying, there's 900 quid, rather than chipping it off your NI, which you probably don't notice anyway. I don't know why they don't do that.
Well, you could do that. You could combine it with your famous Great British ISA. You could say, here's £1,000 to invest for free in your ISA.
Yep.
For instance, so that way it's not just going and getting spent at Weatherspoons or for a new telly or television. it's going to get used to invest into here.
Yeah,
you know, there's an idea we just thought of. Mm-hmm. I've just thought of in 1 minute flat.
Yeah,
and there must be bigger, better brains out there thinking, because. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Conservative government would also say, we don't want to tell you how to spend your money.
Yeah.
We'd rather give you the money and then free will and what have you, which is then contra the idea of, you know, have a bit of extra ice as long as you put in this very specific bucket from there. So it conflicts.
And Jamie, Weatherspoons or a new TV? No, I'm just kidding. with your 900 quid, if people watching this think, do you know what? Actually, to be fair, it's a modest amount, but it's new money. Mm-hmm. It's money I didn't have that my mortgage had gone up. I'd factored that in. Mm-hmm. This is new money I'm going to now have. If people wanted to save that, I guess if it's 30 quid a month, but it'll be 60 if you take the previous one. People wanted to save that 60 quid into their ISA they have with the True Potential, what's the quickest way and the simplest way for them to be able to do that?
Well, you've obviously got, from our perspective, you've got Impulse Save you can use on the website and put money in. You've also got your regular contributions. I would sort of take that of where should you put it. So we're talking about ISAs there, but you could increase that by, you've got your £450 a year, pop it in your pension, you get your tax refund on it, so you could actually increase that slightly more than what it actually is. I think it's one of these things that any form of saving I would encourage, because I think you're never going to get to where you need to be unless you are saving. It's just how to notice that difference. But yeah, you can go on the website, you can add your Impulse Saves in, you can do it from a regular basis. And with Dan, I think it's interesting because I've been listening to the sort of Radio 4 the last few days and just trying to, you know, just trying to like get some, is he going to shock us on something? Am I going to get, you know, so there's nothing in here we probably didn't already know. We probably could have.
No, there was no rabbit out there.
Yeah, we probably could have wrote this down weeks ago.
I was in London last week, Jamie, with press, and they were asking me all of these questions. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? So it's been yet again leaked to.
Yeah, it's completely been leaked. Yeah. And there's obviously, in its election year, I personally felt there was going to be something a little bit, I'm not, you know, we could look at an income tax decrease, or even just the fact of changing, you know, my view would have been, I agree with you, changing the percentage on tax, that might have been the better option.
There was some talk this morning that he might have done the income tax. And I just wonder if, but he didn't.
Was there not enough wiggle room in his in his budget? I don't know. It's interesting because...
Because obviously the income tax, we were chatting about this,
yeah.
Jamie, Chris, Peter, beforehand, often walked away from factors that people who had drawn their pension can be liable to income tax, you know, so then, but they don't pay national insurance on it, you know, so even the NI cut doesn't even benefit everybody in the country. Yeah. It benefits, we've got here 27 million people in full-time UK work at the moment. From this, there's several million people there will be there looking at it, thinking, well, good, the NI. Now, I know on that hand, and as the right point you made, Peter, as a contrapoint, is, you know, the state pension and what's been going on there and the work with the triple lock. So maybe, you know, arguably, has it been enough for people in that retirement type of space? And this is something towards people who are going to be working or not.
Well, there was, but you're right, there was nothing in it that I could see, and again, we'll have to read in the full details, but there was, I didn't see an awful lot in it for pensioners at all, really. They don't benefit from the NI cut. There wasn't any, I mean, yet, I know they've had the triple lock, and people will say, well, we've had that, which is true, but an income tax cut would have helped pensioners, which almost makes me think, is that the last budget then before the election? Because traditionally, you would chuck some red meat the way of your older voters before an election. Yeah. And there would be time for one more, because if they go long on an election and have it towards the very end of the year, end of November, potentially December, the last election, of course, was December.
Yeah,
you'd have time for an autumn statement. Yeah, so who knows? Might be one more.
Would that be normal, Peter? I think we talked about this, didn't we, three or four podcasts ago. I mean, you almost came up with a date.
I think
you?
I did. I think I said the 14th of November, or something around about then, but could go longer.
Would that be typical to do an autumn one so close to the actual election date?
Well, it would be massively unusual in recent times of all elections typically around about May time, so it would be strange territory. But if they just felt that we needed to do one more to wait for things, I mean, there's all sorts of talk around the economy improving, letting some of this stuff filter through. You know, their strategy, I think, is go as long as you can, and the longer you leave it, the more window you have for some other emergency budget or pre-election budget.
There was talk this morning. People asking the question whether you do a quick election and have one in May.
I think that's the coming from the Labour Party. Because I don't think they particularly want a quick election. So I think by calling for that and saying he's going to do it, you almost take it off the table.
I think so. It's interesting. I think in terms of going across to businesses as well.
Yeah. That was my next question, Jamie. You've read my script from there.
Maybe be there, Peter. There's a couple of small business, obviously, changes, but the VAT threshold has come through, the recovery loan for smaller businesses. But there's nothing really exciting, is there? Is it from a business perspective?
Yeah. Well, that was my question to Dan, putting your chief executive hat on. And as someone who runs a very successful and fast-growing business, you know, what was the? Could you get excited about anything there from a business point of view? Anything that would make you think, right, let's go for it? Or
I think, as you can tell, I've sounded agitated throughout, which is probably the perils of doing this live.
I was worried about asking you the question, but I'm going to do it.
But you know, I'm wearing two hats, Peter. I'm trying to wear one as a citizen, woman in the street, but also as a shareholder in a privately run organisation. And you've all heard me, those who've watched our podcast before, you've heard me talk about, I don't see much help for UK businesses out there. I certainly don't see a lot of help for the type of organisation which we've been told by government is the future of UK. You know, one of our largest parts of the economy is financial services. We get told off all of the Conservative government. We're very pro-technology, we're very pro-innovation. Where's any of that? Mm-hmm. You know, in the last budget, we got further tax breaks for buying diggers. another plant. You know, like
have you bought one?
Well, strangely enough, no, because I can't put a digger into Chris's funds from there. Great if you want a factory. You know, it's great, particularly the Northeast, quite an industrial place. So if you're a factory owner or you're using plant and things like that, fantastic. But where's the tax break for us to go away and innovate on a new product? Where's the tax advantages for employing nearly 600 people in the Northeast in financial services, in technology, in client servicing? Where are the tax breaks or the unwinding of regulation to help us tackle things like the advice gap as well, which, you know, I mentioned before, is 12 million people without access to advice. Yes, I know this isn't a regulatory budget, but where's the nod toward that?
Yeah.
And the last time I think we had a really positive budgetary shock was when George Osborne mentioned pensions freedoms. And that was a bolt out the blue, by the way.
2015, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you've gone nearly 10 years without any bolt from the blue.
No, and the regulator, government, civil servants didn't know about it. And that was very deliberate by Osborne. Why? Because as he came out, and I don't think you said it in his little words, he said they would kill it. They would stifle it. They would stop it. He released it and said, then get on with it. What's stopping someone like Hunt doing that? And I'll go back to what I said earlier today. We have a majority Tory government, which means if we want to bring regulation, we want to bring initiatives out, which are actually going to genuinely help the UK economy grow, which is a great thing for all of us. Do something interesting, do something exciting, and then say to private businesses, go and figure it out. Go and solve it for us.
Do you think that there's some nervousness maybe after what happened with the Liz Truss budget, where obviously she came out, she did something different. You know, that didn't work because of lack of forecasts, lack of market understanding of how she paid for everything, that you're now in a sort of a different period where people are actually quite nervous and they just go for a really sort of plain vanilla budget.
Yeah.
And just, you know, don't shock anyone with anything.
No, I think you're right, Chris. I don't knock it. It's just, this is three budgets in since that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this time last year, fair enough, steady as she goes with the budget. Autumn one, you could have been a little bit of both. This is just more or less Autumn's budget repeated with a couple of like extra bells and whistles. Going back to my business side of things, Peter, we're paying more business tax than we were when Tory government came in.
And he hasn't reduced the employer's NI. So you're taking that for employees, but employers pay NI as well, right?
Well, correct.
So
that hasn't come down. We've had the much trailered wage inflation side of things last year. We, you know, as a starting point for our entry level employees, pay a real living wage and have done for a number of years. Despite the wage inflation side of things, and actually because of the wage inflation, and in my opinion, the real living wage side of things, overcooking things, we're having to think twice about it because actually we're getting squeezed from every angle. More tax, more cost of regulation, the NI side of things. Sooner or later, something has to give in private organisations. And if you want to lead as a pro-business, anti-regulation, anti-guideline organisation, which typically some of the, I know the Tories would describe it differently, they're putting it a lot more of a succinct fashion than me there, but there's none of that. This is just very boring, you know, Chris, sorry, I don't mean boring in terms of what you're saying.
No, but I like, agree, it's like plain vanilla, nothing exciting.
This could have just been a Labour budget, to be honest with you, and all the noise Labour make right now. You know, you may as well have Rachel Reeves step up today
with it.
Didn't they literally didn't have the wiggle room, though? I know, kind of go back to that. Is this why we're seeing this?
They've got the wriggle room. We've got more money than the state. You know, the UK population have paid more tax than ever before as people and as organisations from there. Despite what some of this says, we've got a good economy. We've got great employment. We've got great private businesses out there as well. If there was a will, there's definitely
the big. I think, Chris, you might have a bit more inside track, but I think the biggest, if you look, weight on any chancellor for the time being, and all of us, frankly, is that if you look at the amount of tax you pay, or just look at every pound you pay in tax. Okay, the biggest proportion, first of all, goes on the health service. Second biggest chunk goes on welfare. Do you know what the third biggest chunk goes on? Would you have a guess?
Go on, Jamie.
You might think it's education. Mm. Is it police, law and order? I would have said defence.
Yeah, probably defence, I would have said.
National interest on the debt. Debt interest.
Yeah.
So the third bit more than we spend on the as you say, the defence department, the education, law and order, it goes on interest, not even playing down the debt, just interest on the debt. Third biggest chunk of all of our taxes goes on that. And I think that's a constraint on all of us. It's the reason why you write down, pay more tax than ever, more money going into the exchequer. We don't see around us public services necessarily getting any better. We don't feel better off. And you think, well, where's all the money going? And it's going to pay off debt.
Debt.
And we're going to be saddled with that for years to come, generations to come, probably.
Great British debt, I say.
Yeah.
Buy some coupons.
Well, I had Bryce in my head for the British. I don't know if I could fit debt ISA in. I'm not sure that would work, but I'll work on that.
We had an advisor a few years ago pitch us. It was a chap called Martin Cullen. So Martin's still one of our advisors, actually, and a friend. Isn't he, Jamie?
Yes.
Give us a funny look.
No, no, yes.
Yeah. And Martin pitch us the idea of the British, the bulldog ISA.
Yeah.
So maybe Martin was a trailblazer for Jeremy Hunt's chancellery.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? So, I mean, overall then, a hit or a miss? I think I know the answer to this question, so I'm going to start with Chris at the very end. A hit or a miss, do you think, Chris?
I'm glad it didn't have any negative surprises, but there wasn't really anything there, so I'll give it a miss.
Well, actually, one thing he said, and he did it as a joke in his speech, or I think it was a joke, it's about as good as a joke as you're going to get in a Chancellor's budget speech, but he said, I like to please all sides of the House. I think Labour were having a go, and he said, well, they were cheering something. And I almost thought, well, yeah, I know you meant that as a laugh, but like, that's the problem. Trying to please all sides of the House probably means
you
please
can never
nobody.
Please everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, and you probably shouldn't try really to do that, but hey, what would we know? Jamie, a hit or a miss?
I think there is, you know, there is positive things in there. I just don't think it's went far enough in certain areas, so I'm going to go for a miss. Mm.
Swinging a miss. Not just a miss.
Okay.
From there, but I think the point you made about Hunt and trying to please the whole House, he's actually trying to please the whole country.
Mm.
He's got more than one eye on the leadership. Next.
Do you think?
Yeah. He always has. Yeah. You know, he's pitched in leadership elections before.
Yeah.
He might not be want to be, which might be why he's been Mr. Safe, Pierre Chris. He might not be want to be remembered as a Chancellor who went wild with a budget, which either went catastrophically badly well.
I might be wrong with this. And I suppose as we're live, we could Google it now and you could prove me wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's Nancy stepping down at the next election anyway. So maybe he's got his eye on something else in the city afterwards. I don't know.
Well, that's
Doesn't fancy annoying his mates. And I don't know.
No, you don't want to second guess any of our members of parliament too much. No.
No. Is it wiggle room or wriggle room?
You tell me.
Don't know. You've said both.
I don't know. I was wondering when Dan corrected us. So I was quite
wriggle room.
I corrected
wriggle room.
You said. Oh, you just said wiggle.
WRIGGLE.
That's right.
Are the Wiggles them? That group from Australia?
Like a child's like program.
Good. Right. Time for us to wriggle out of this spot and wrap it up. But look, I think that's been really good, and it's been actually, you know, good to get your thoughts. I mean, you know, as I said at the very start, we've tried to do this, you know, within a half an hour or so of the budget finishing, so you get that instant gut reaction. So this isn't, you know, meant to be a polish. We've got all the detail. We've spent hours or days looking at you. It's just that instant reaction, which I suspect our reaction is going to be much like yours, which is basically, it's a bit underwhelming. There's not an awful lot there to get excited about. Who knows, maybe there is another budget to come before the election. It didn't really feel like an election winner to me. I mean, that would probably be...
No, the good news is alcohol duty's been frozen.
Has it?
So we can go and have a drink now.
And so is the fuel duty, so we can drive to the pub.
So we drive to
get a taxi back down.
Correct, Peter.
Yeah. Or walk. Right, okay, well, look, yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Chris, Jamie and Dan as well.
Thank you.
Thank you to you for tuning in today in the middle of your afternoon. So appreciate that as well. And I hope that's been of some use. If you've missed, you know, what you've got from us today is actually what it means to savers and investors and to you, to clients, I suppose, as well, which if you watch the news later on tonight, you might get a very different take on, you know, people who aren't investors, aren't savers. So we've tried to really focus in on the issues that matter to you today. So thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to hit subscribe to this YouTube channel because you'll catch more of our podcasts. We do these every single week and we do morning markets, a video every single morning to give you the inside track on the movements that you'll see in the markets that do in the end of the day affect your money. So well worth subscribing to that. Don't forget to give us a like. And for now, thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next time.